events occurred in if we're using TNC language, period 2 and 3. The other 531 had no passengers in the vehicles and would have occurred in period 1. So approximately 70% of the accidents occurred with no passengers in the cabs, or in the words, to borrow from the language of Uber, the driver had his app on and was seeking the next call. Mr. Entler was nice enough to also go back another 4 years, and during that period of time, he just looked at individual accidents that incurred losses of excess of $50,000. There were a total of 17 accidents that incurred over $50,000 during that time span, or roughly 4 a year. Keep in mind, he only had 200 vehicles on the road at that time, okay? Not thousands like the TNCs. Of those 17 accidents, the largest incurred losses did not occur in period 2 and 3, but instead they occurred in period 1. The largest one was roughly $1.2 million, no passengers in the cab, period 1. The second largest incurred was almost $1 million, no passengers in the cab, period 1. The third largest was $264,000, no passengers in the cab, period 1. My other clients, Broadway, Green, Union, Portland, Rose, also reviewed hundreds of claims over the last 3 years, and the average percentage of claims that occurred for these other companies was roughly 58% of the accidents occurred in period 1.
Thank you very much. If you could make a copy of that available to us, yeah, then that would be helpful for us to consider, but we need to hear from other folks and move on.
Okay. I just want to finish. This data has been collected over a period of several years and hundreds of accident files, which leads to credible actuarial data. I believe that this is why the liability limit for that Uber has with their insurance policy has the lowest limit during the time where there are the most accidents. They have this low limit to minimize their costs for insurance because insurance companies understand this. They understand that most of the accidents occur during that period. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Good morning. Go ahead.
Hello, my name is Dirk Warninghoff. I'm a 38-year-old Portland native. I've worked as an owner-operator at RadioCat for almost 5 years. Personally, I'm being punished by your non-regulated experimental double trial period by about 35% less income. However, I'd like to address the suggestions of your new rules as quickly as I can. All the companies should have the same minimum million-dollar policy as a public safety issue. The whole period one quickly removed my little 6x6 card before someone sees it, as my personal insurance company would drop me is a bunch of baloney. I personally called 15 or more major insurance companies in Oregon, and not one of them will insure you if you tell them you're driving for a TNC vehicle. So almost all of these people driving around are prepared to be committing insurance fraud, because if they call I was in an accident and I hit somebody, a pedestrian, and I told my insurance company they would drop me. So now the pedestrian is stuck suing a driver that has no insurance at all and has no job to pay for it. Why are you willing to put the public at risk? If they are not allowed to not have a 24-hour million-dollar coverage and the taxi cabs, I am, then that's collusion. You're not allowed to give them a competitive advantage that I don't have, and you're opening yourself up for a possible litigation. It seems funny that you're really giving new rules for people who are brand new to compared to people that have been here a long time following the rules. But as for paying the city's 50 cents a ride instead of the $600 per plate fee, I don't know what you're thinking. I mean, let's say I do 15 rides a day, 5 days a week. That's my 12-hour shift, and my partner does the other 15 rides a day, 5 days a week. That's $3,600 a year we'd be giving you. Why is that six times the amount I was giving you before? I was only giving you $600. That doesn't make sense. And finally, basically, yeah, I'd just like them to be labeled as much as possible. That'd be really nice. Matting us on all sides of the vehicle. It's really weird that they even wanted to argue with you guys about the fact that they have one in the back, because just like they want to argue with you that they don't want fire extinguishers because they're not about that. They're about the bottom line, which is lowest denominator, least profits. And either way, it'd be really nice if they were labeled on all sides of the vehicle for a public safety issue. Thank you for your time.
Thanks very much. Good morning.
Morning. Jeanette Thiebert. Thank you. Commissioner Novak, I have one question for you. Why? You're college educated. You're a leader. Why do you continually insist on devaluing your own life? And now you're putting it in the record, okay? You step off a curb twice a day, every day you come to work. At that point, you're a pedestrian. A year ago, your life, according to this, was valued at $500,000. Now, we in the four higher transportation agreed to value you at $1 million. And that's what we insured in case for some reason somebody couldn't see you for whatever happened. Okay. We value you more than you're valuing yourself. As a leader, I'm asking you to reconsider your actions. Commissioner Salzman, Mayor Hales, he's thrown you under the same moving wheel. He's valued your lives at that as well. Every visitor to this city, every person who lives here, every person who serves here is worth $1 million when they step across our streets. And it is a simple task to ask that vehicles be identifiable, because an 80-year-old who's not tech-savvy and doesn't have a smartphone doesn't understand the difference between a black and white U on the side of a in the front of a vehicle compared to a red and white U in this city means this building is unsafe to enter. What's the difference? It doesn't. So I can get a magnet that shows 12 by 18 inches. It's magnet, and it says the full word Uber. Not just a U, it says Uber. And those should be required on the outside of a vehicle for the safety of pedestrians as well.
So I have a question, which is, do you think that, I mean, all of us should be required, no matter whether we're commercial or non-commercial drivers, to carry $1 million worth of insurance?
I think at least $500,000. All of us?
Can I answer that question?
Actually, no. I was addressing the question to you because I think that, I think there's an argument that, most crashes happen with non-commercial vehicles. So I appreciate you giving an answer that, Commissioner Fritz has suggested that the legislature should raise the overall limit for everybody, and it sounds like you agree with that.
I have no problems if you want to make it $1 million. And if I were driving my personal vehicle, here's the irony of this. I own two taxi cabs. And when you submitted this, okay, up until recently, I didn't own another vehicle. So how many different ways do you want to put my WAVE vehicle out of business? Okay, put me out of business. Because the way this is written, had my partner not renewed their car and thrown me in on the title at the last minute. A year ago, I wouldn't have owned a personal vehicle to have insured.
By the way, Commissioner Novak, since I'm in a public life, I choose to have much higher limits. But let's be clear, on the private side, whatever limits I have would cover, the insurance would cover up to those limits if there was applicable coverage. And someone could go after me personally because I'm behind the wheel. One of the things we're trying to avoid here is something which I have some prior experience with in my life before counsel, is the living people make doing this on insurance coverage in the commercial side so that people spend a good portion of their life trying to establish liability and damages. But the reason individually I have higher limits is because I'm insuring me and my family against the risk that we will be sued. Insurance will cover up to the limits, but I'm potentially on the hook, which means our savings, our house, and everything else. And It is different on the commercial side because we can regulate consumer protection on the personal side. If you choose to be irresponsible and keep very low limits and put your own resources at risk as a private individual, that's your choice. But once you're in commerce, I think we hold you to a higher standard.
Thank you all very much. Okay, is that all the testimony? So I'd like to call up for questions Leah Treat, Brian Hockaday, Kate Wood from RISC, Ken, again, I think, should come back up. So pull up another chair as needed. I know we have a lot of questions.
Rick?
You want to take a break? Yeah, let's take a 3-minute mercy break for the council and come back. So
thank you.
You can get organized while we're doing that.
I don't want to miss these answers.
We've gone from compassion to mercy.